What's up, everybody? We're talking how Black Lightning has taken the CW by storm, and BET has some new programming for us to check out. All that and more on Black Hollywood Lives this week.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
And we... I'm just gonna get naked. All right.
It's a well-timed song, given the news,
oh,
right?
Oh, I know. We came in good. What's up, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're here at Black Hollywood Live this week. I'm your host, Courtney Stewart. Unfortunately, Dariel Kristen is out of the building somewhere in Detroit on a plane. I don't know what he's doing. He just said he couldn't come to work today. And y'all ain't seen Jesse in like 2 months because he's working on another job. Y'all make sure y'all check his work out on The 4 tonight on Fox because he's over at the Sony Studios doing that for a couple more weeks, but he'll be back. So I had to find some other people to hang out with this week, you guys, and I got some pretty cool people in the building.
Thank you, Courtney.
I try. I'm going to start. Oh, well, the voice you just heard, for those of you guys that are not watching, is the incomparable Jeffrey Graham is back, guys.
Guys, Jeff Graham here. Thanks for tuning in. If you guys can find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. Courtney, I think this is my thrice appearance.
I think it is your thrice appearance. And it's funny because the last one I recall, we actually talked a little bit about the Olympics.
We did.
And we're going to give a little Olympics thing this week. So it was sort of like a,
it's true. You know, I love the Olympics. I think I talked about this, but there's nothing in the world I love more than the Olympics.
I know, and that's why I had to keep that in.
I love it.
And
thank
I'm so
you.
Sad Stefan couldn't make it because he was going to fill in also, and you guys were on the same show.
That's right.
Together,
right.
So, but anyway, enough of that talk about whoever they are. We have a beautiful addition to our panel this week. Miss Yale is
Hello.
In the building.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you could join us. You guys, she has some real special information / opinion on one of the topics we're going to be talking about later. And she wrote a really beautiful article that we're going to talk about again later that you guys should definitely go check out on popsugar.com.
Thank you.
So, but we're going to start at the top of the show like we always do with something celebratory and positive. And something exciting, and something that was super exciting for just sort of like, okay, so y'all may not know, but the Black folks is real excited about Black Panther coming to the theaters next week. So, or not next week, next month. So we talked about that last week and how excited everybody was because all these people was buying tickets and everything is fabulous. And then we had the most amazing excitement also for the comic universe coming to television with Black Lightning that premiered on the CW last night, or was it the night before?
Tuesday.
Night before, Tuesday night. I forget even what today is, but it apparently did exceptionally well for CW. It was the highest rated premiere in 2 years, I think they said, and it's actually got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes as of last night. It might have changed by this morning, but as of last night, it was at 100%.
Fox hasn't reviewed it yet, so once they do, it'll probably go down. But
there
we'll
go. But it's being produced by the husband and wife team, Mara Brock Akil and Salim Akil, and we love them from doing Being Mary Jane. They did The Game initially on the CW that eventually moved to BET, so everybody was super excited, and Cress Williams is leading the cast as Black Lightning and doing great stuff. Did y'all get to check it out?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I know this is comic universe over here.
Start with Yale.
We'll start with Yale because she is obviously a pro in all things CW comic universe also. So what did you think?
I loved it. There was a lot of discussion about how, you know, everyone wants all the CW DC shows to be in the same universe. Mm-hmm. And then everyone watched this one and went, no, we good. Like, we are not putting these universes together. This is a great show. It is grounded. Everything is beautifully put. The exposition was so well done, mm-hmm. especially when they had we're giving you a speech and explaining who every character is. We were like, yes, that's how you do it. We're done. We're moving on to plot. Mm-hmm. My only critique, and this is a very personal issue, is the girl from Disney Channel has got to win me over.
She'll give her time.
But right now, I look at her and go, we're not on Disney Channel anymore. Stop doing the Disney Channel. I'm angry.
Come on. The youngest daughter?
Yes.
So it's the acting. China. Is a little China. Like, oh, yeah.
She, and I know she can do it.
For
it
sure.
It was the pilot. Mm-hmm. I'm giving her that.
Yeah.
Other than that, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. What did you think, Jeff?
I agree. with everything you're saying, y'all. It's funny. I don't really watch much CW shows.
I am shocked.
I know. And I just so you guys know, up until like a week ago, I thought DC Comics were any comics that were political because they were about Washington, D.C. So that shows my knowledge of I know, and I claim to work in this
Even
industry.
Even I know that, Jeff. I know. I don't know anything.
I'm learning. But I thought this show was exceptionally good. I watched it because I host a TV pilot review show here. So every week we do a new pilot, and we covered this, obviously, because it's the biggest new show of the week. I thought it was incredibly impressive. I thought it was really, really sharp. The thing that I really appreciated about it was it managed to have kind of the beats that we expect from a network show, sort of that comfort food sensibility, but there was this totally subversive element that was really interested in the nuances of Black culture in America. And you never see that on network. And part of that's because they brought the Akills in. I mean, I really like Being Mary Jane. I think like Mara Brock Akills is a genius, but I couldn't believe I was simultaneously getting the feel-good nature of network TV with these really challenging questions about both Black and white roles in kind of our communities today, and I thought it was astoundingly good.
Now, you said something real deep, and because, you know, we're on Black Hollywood Live, my peeps gonna be in the comments like, what you mean of Black nuances in America? Like, what you noticing about Black nuances in it? What did you notice? What was your observation? Like, what was that to you?
You can tell me whether or not this is okay for me to observe.
We won't let y'all know. Like, don't come for him comments. He is speaking from his heart, and he loves us just like we love him. So go
I thought what was really interesting was, as just a TV watcher, it's been so exciting to see portrayals of Black culture just become more interesting on television. I covered the Atlanta After Show here, and that was so good. And like, I feel like 10 years ago, if you were to look at the characters played by adolescent African-American females, it would either be like the Disney kind of Raven character, or it would be like The Wire. Like, it would be something like Very Hood, kind of. And I couldn't believe how interesting, and I felt rich, the writing and portrayal of Black Lightning's two teenage daughters was. I just was really refreshed. I felt like I was watching real high school teenagers, which I feel like we haven't seen specifically in Black television.
All right. Well, there you go, guys.
I don't know if you guys agree or not.
I'll let y'all know for real, because, you know, I started watching it on Tuesday and I fell asleep. So it is in my, and that has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with the fact that I can't turn off lights and start watching television and not fall asleep. It's just not something I can do. But I had been, you know, reading and following everything up until the point and was all excited about the premiere. So I still have to go back and watch the entire episode. But what I saw, I appreciated. I was sort of boycotting CW for a very long time because I was mad at them ever since they canceled the game like hella years ago and then it went to BT. Like, that was a whole situation. So I'm glad that they brought Mara and Salim back for something that's interesting, and it seems like it's touching and hitting all the right notes right now, and I'm excited to see where it goes. I love that, obviously, we have the Marvel Universe on Netflix with Luke Cage and that kind of thing, and so sort of bringing society's issues but still able to do it in the TV entertainment format that's not like beating you over the head about stuff, but still entertaining, but still saying something for real, which was actually one of the comments of the critics, like, ooh, it's a show that's like interesting and entertaining, but it's actually saying something. So they felt like that's what it brought to CW's roster.
It also, you know, it's really great right now that we have all of these shows that are going, oh, people are different.
Right.
All of these people, yes, they may all be Black, but they're different.
Yes. Exactly. That's what it is. I know. Yeah, Lena Waithe, who just created The Chi, I'm a huge, huge fan of hers. She was talking about how we're at a point in television when even white people are tired of seeing white people on TV.
Yeah.
Like, we're sick of it. Like, even just from a purely entertainment standpoint, we want to see shows that aren't just about white people. And they're making money. That's like what people need to be realizing.
Yes,
it's not like it's this risky thing anymore.
No.
We need to be greenlighting more diverse content just from a purely, for a lot of reasons. But if you want to go by a cash cow standpoint, it's better TV. That's what we want to see.
Yeah. It's what the people want to see. Did y'all hear that? It's what the people want to see. So you guys, make sure you check out Black Lightning on the CW every Tuesday night. Is it 9?
Yeah. Sounds right.
That's why I fell asleep.
It's after the Flash.
It's after the Flash, 9 o'clock, and they said it kept all the Flash's audience, so they were on top of their business.
They got more than the Flash's audience.
Yeah. Probably got some extra after coming in after that, because I definitely didn't watch the Flash. It might have. Well, you know what? My TV would have been on the Flash, so I would remember that it was after that. But I definitely like was doing something else before the Flash. But anyway, that being said, we're gonna keep this show moving and talking about greenlighting new content. BET guys is greenlighting some more content. And we're going to get it coming to our TV sets TV sets. Do people still say that anymore?
Yes.
Is
why
that
not?
A thing still?
Yeah, that's a
thing.
They're
not like a set anymore. They're kind of like a big old flat screen.
It's a screen in a box.
It's not really in a box anymore.
No, not the screens in a box. A screen and a box.
I guess it's two.
Your box is your Roku or your Apple TV.
That's true, and I need another Apple TV. But anyway, so BET is coming with some new programming. First up, Miss Angela Rye, who we have seen all over the place. She's been a pundit on CNN and I believe MSNBC, but mostly on CNN. And she's always got some interesting stuff to say about what's going on in our political universe, and she has a new show that is tentatively titled Angela Rye's State of the Union that is supposed to be premiering at the end of the month after the State of the Union, and basically it's news specials that she covers a different topic every single episode.
They said the first one's going to be deliberately her responding to whatever he says
on the State of the Union.
I love it.
Which I'm actually really excited about.
Will it be live then? Or?
Well, I don't think it's actually a live show. I think it's going to be taped after everything.
Yeah.
Because when they said everything I read about news specials and interviews and that kind of thing, like, I don't think it's going to be a live situation.
Okay. Maybe the first one will be live and the rest of them won't.
Maybe. If she would do it live while the State of the Union was happening, I would be so excited. But yeah. I feel like we're all going to be tweeting after the State of the Union and then be like, okay, girl, what you got for us? So will you guys be checking her out on BET? Do you guys watch BET? Let's talk about
I like
that.
Being Mary Jane a lot. To
so
be honest,
you did say that. You did watch
I don't
that.
Watch a lot of political television. I hate to, I know as like a dutiful citizen I should be more politically engaged than I am.
That don't
but
mean you should watch political television because yeah. all that is.
I really like John Oliver. Mm-hmm. I also really like Samantha Bee, and I will say if Angela Rye is bringing kind of the same energy that I feel like a Samantha Bee brought to TBS, I think I'd be really excited about it. Okay. What I love is just getting tidbits of like viral political moments that I feel like show up on Facebook the next day, and knowing Angela Rye, I'm sure we'll be getting a lot of those.
Sure.
But I think it's very smart for BET to enter this space because I feel like Every network is kind of trying to get their own sort of political pundit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like TBS did that with Samantha Bee, which was a really good move. So I think it's a very smart move by BET.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I mean, I don't know what the deal is with The Rundown with Robin Thede, because that's currently on BET. And it's not similar per se, because it sounds like Angela Rye's show is going to be more sort of interview and very newsy based. Mm. Robin Thede's The Rundown kind of sort of more Colbert Report meets Saturday Night Live, sort of. So she's taking serious topics and the crazy things that's happened in the news, but then she's got hilarious skits throughout and like that kind of thing.
More late night.
It is late night.
Awesome.
I think it's like 10 o'clock. Again, I don't know because I don't stay up for it, but I do have it on the TV later.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'll be interested to see. I don't know if they are conflicting or if they pick her up or how that's going to work, but go BET for trying to change it up with their programming. In addition to that, we have another show called Man Cave that is going to be executive produced by Steve Harvey. Be coming to BET, and that is coming at the end of the month also, and it is a progressive new talk format that assembles a diverse group of Black men who will share unadulterated and provocative views about life, love, politics, sex, pop culture, and more.
So it's The View for men?
I mean, that's what I was like, how else is it progressive and like new platform of talk? Like it's a table and four people. Like what else are they doing?
Is The View or The Talk or
The
Real or The Chew?
And it's just going in, you know? So I mean, go Steve Harvey because I never would have thought Steve Harvey was going to have a successful talk show. Like, I just never, that never would have occurred to me ever in life. And I love Steve Harvey, and I always have. But I just, when that happened, I was like, what?
Do you feel like you saw him too much as a comic to carry a daytime show?
As a comic and an actor.
Yeah.
And then, like, just because when I think of daytime talk, I think of middle-aged, middle-America women that has to sell to. And I just never thought Steve Harvey was that dude. But apparently he is, and he's...
When I think of Steve Harvey's talk show.
Yes.
I think of Keenan on SNL doing Steve Harvey. And I go, yeah, I'd watch that.
Truth.
I mean,
that's what I think of.
I know, because I'm like, I don't know anybody that actually watches Steve Harvey's talk show. And I myself have never actually watched an entire episode. I've tried.
From what I hear, Maria Menounos' mom watches that show.
Oh.
I could see it.
I believe that was announced on New Year's.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, because people love him on Family Feud. So I guess he kind of brings that same vibe.
That I love.
Yeah. Yes.
Steve Harvey Family Feud. That's fun.
Yeah,
he's incredibly talented.
He obviously is.
Yeah.
And he's putting money and time behind another show. And for those of y'all that care, I don't know most of these people that are about to be on this panel of four men. The only one I know for sure is Tank, and he is a singer and an actor. I don't know what he's acted in, but I know he sang. And he's real cute.
Do you have the other names?
The other names are comedian Gerald Slink Johnson. Oh, I know him. He's in Black Jesus. Mm-hmm. And a producer by the name of Marcos Cosine Palacios. I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Y'all know who that is? I don't know who that is. And then the head TV personality, main host, and executive producer is Jeff Johnson, who I probably should know, but I still don't know in terms of a TV personality. So I'm just like, I don't know why they picked that cast.
Yeah, do you feel like these names are big enough to launch a show?
I mean, I don't know.
Is Steve going to be there?
No, Steve's the executive producer.
He's not going to just show up and check in?
I mean, I don't know.
He's not Barbara.
Maybe he'll be that fifth seat every once in a while. I don't know, but I don't know any of those people really, especially in terms of like talk format, like somebody I want to hear what their opinions are. Like, Tank, I just want to see you with your shirt off and singing. Like, I don't want to hear you talk about anything. So I don't know.
But it'll be interesting. Steve Harvey's actually kind of conservative. Like, I don't like his book, Think Like a Man. And I just, it'll be interesting to see if he's EPing the show, if his kind of worldview will infiltrate. It'll be interesting to see whether or not he actually assembled a panel of diverse opinions.
Well, I think that diverse opinion. It'll be an interesting conversation actually to have. We should come back and talk about this after it airs, because I really wonder, like, in terms of, because when you say Steve Harvey has a very, like, conservative, like, for me, I think of it as very old school black dude.
Yeah.
So with his, because I feel like they kind of did this before with Rev Run and Tyrese before he was crying about his baby, because they had a little show talking about relationships and like all that. And I don't ever expect there to be an evolved, like, oh, we're feminist too kind of conversation. Right. Like, I feel like it's going to be some black men having a conversation about, like, I don't really know that it'll be that, like,
I hope
transformative.
Then I hope that they take on topics that make them uncomfortable.
If you're gonna do that,
if you're gonna have a panel of people who are of similar mind, then give them topics that make them uncomfortable, because then you'll hear perspective on it. You know what I mean? I think that would be interesting to have them discuss the Women's March. Would be fascinating.
Oh, I'm sure they will discuss the Women's March, like those types of things. But that's still very, like, as we said earlier, heteronormative. Mm-hmm. That, like, I feel like that's sort of more the lane that it'll probably go in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But who knows? And what am I saying? For all I know, one of these people on the panel who I don't know who they are, they might have completely different life experience. One of them might be sexually fluid. Who knows? Like, we could have lots of interesting things happen. So, anyway, we'll watch that at the end of January, and you guys let us know what you think, because I'm sure it'll be fascinating regardless.
The one mistake they made was they should have just called it The Cave. Because we have the real, the talk, the chew, the man. I feel like they should have just stuck with the one syllable.
The cave.
Well, I mean, technically you could put it together as like one word and just call it man cave.
Just call it man cave.
Well, it is man cave. Did I say the man cave?
No.
That's my bad.
It's man cave.
Yeah, I'll see myself out.
I think you added a word. But anyway.
But I agree that it should have been the cave, just to go with the rest of them.
Yeah.
Just so then we go, got it. I know what it is.
Exactly.
Except we know what it is, and we know where they're coming from. Because if you just call it a cave, I think immediately caveman. Y'all know exactly what y'all doing.
I think it was originally probably called the caveman, and they went, "You mean the man cave?" Sure.
Because they're bringing real men back to that. Whatever. Stop judging it. I haven't even seen it.
Yeah, we are real judgmental.
It's going to be amazing. It's probably going to be amazing. Congratulations, because that means four new people got four new jobs, and that can be fantastic. So good luck with that. And we're going to move on to our EUR Web Spotlight Story of the Week. Look at you on top of that. All right, Andy in the booth, you got your sound effects right on time. All right, so our main topic of discussion today, obviously, is a story that's been in the news
all week.
Since the weekend, because the story broke over the weekend, and everybody and everywhere has been discussing it. At this point, I'm calling it Aziz versus Grace versus Ashley Banfield versus Babe versus Me Too, because everybody got something to say and is involved, and it just went all the way crazy, in my opinion. But so basically, for those of you that have been under a rock and like not even, you could be walking down the street and haven't heard about this, but so a woman called Grace, and I put that in quotes because she didn't give her real name, gave basically an interview to babe.net, not com, babe.net, and a reporter wrote this story that she basically had an unfortunate experience with Aziz Ansari last year, and she felt compelled to talk about it after seeing him sort of support the Time's Up movement at the Golden Globes. So she felt like she needed to come forth and tell her story of a date that she went on with Aziz. I'm not going to go into all the details about the date, but basically she felt real uncomfortable. They was naked at points. They weren't naked at points. He was, in her opinion, forcing himself on her in ways that she did not want or desire. She left the date feeling very upset and emotional and crying. And apparently Aziz the next day actually reached out to her like, hey, I had a great time, blah, 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 blah. And her response was, what date was you on? Because that wasn't the date I was on.
That's a great paraphrase.
Yes. Exactly. So she, Grace, and Aziz had very different perspectives on what went down.
But he responded saying that he apologized that she was uncomfortable. He did not know that that is how she
That happened. Was, you know, the situation. So, you know, fast forward, we are here now. She's telling this story. It breaks, obviously, in the atmosphere that we are currently in since the Harvey Weinstein scandal. Was that in October?
Sounds right.
Around about October. Mm-hmm. So since October, like, we've had a constant flood of hot messery from men flipping dicks out and showing people stuff and all kind of mess in terms of sexual harassment. So that's the environment we're in. The story comes out, and obviously it could be a major ding on somebody's career. It can destroy somebody's career, and it's very possible that that could have happened to Aziz Ansari. We still don't know if that's going to be the case for him. But basically, that came out and everybody reacted like in various ways. Mm-hmm. It wasn't quite, a lot of people seemed to be like, well, that was a bad date. And then some people on the other side were like, well, yeah, it was a bad date, but he's still a shithead for not realizing that this was happening. And then there's people on the other side, like Ashley Banfield, who was very, very upset by what went down. And she went on her HLN Crime and Justice show on Monday, and she really criticized the girl for coming forward. And she really criticized the reporter who took the story, also mm-hmm. for writing the story. And I'm going to just read you the quote that Ashley, she gave a rant basically on Monday, but I'll read a quick little quote from her rant. She said, quote, "You had a bad date. The Me Too movement has righted a lot of wrongs and it has made your career path much smoother. What a gift. Yet you looked that gift horse in the mouth and chiseled away at that powerful movement with your public accusation. I hope the next time you go on a bad date, you stand up sooner, you smooth out your dress, and you bloody well leave. Because the only sentence that a guy like that deserves is a bad case of blue balls, not a Hollywood black ball." So since she went off on Monday, the writer from Babe went off, sent an email. Girl.
I read it.
Girl. The writer sent Ashley Banfield an email basically trying to take a dig at Ashley, like, girl, your highlights is jacked up. Don't nobody know who you are under the age of 45. You ain't shit, and your burgundy lipstick is ugly. Ashley went back on the air yesterday and read the email to many of us and commented basically like, Trick, how is this going to help us? That didn't help, and that only proves that you ain't shit. So that's my, like, truncated version of what went down.
Very good.
So anyway, that being said, it is a legit, like, crazy kind of situation. And obviously, we're in this Me Too movement. We've talked about it here multiple times already. This, I feel like, was a large case that sort of shifts conversation in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And something we need to talk about. First off, I'm going to just say, I felt real uncomfortable when Ashley went on her first rant on Monday. So as much as I sort of agreed, I also didn't agree that she should be ranting, because then I'm like, well, what happened to the whole, like, we supporting everybody when they got to speak their truth? And then she said some other things about the girl staying anonymous and how mm-hmm. unfair that was. And I was like, that's kind of true, especially when we're not in a court of law. So you're basically right now in an environment where you can accuse a man of anything. Mm-hmm. And it's being taken for the most part as truth. And so if you can't stand behind that with your name, then that's not fair to anybody involved. But at the same time, don't you have the right, because of the persecution of women for so long, to keep that anonymity, because it can be a dangerous situation even further for you? So I don't even know where to go. I just was like real uncomfortable with the whole thing. So what did you guys think?
The thing about Ashley Bamford.
Banfield.
Whatevs. She is the woman who read the entire statement letter of the woman who was raped in Stanford by rapist Brock Turner.
Yes.
She read that. That is where her name skyrocketed and people under 45 figured out who she was. Mm. And I, at that moment, followed her on Twitter. And after Monday, unfollowed her on Twitter. Because her critique of... Okay, yes. I don't know what this outlet, babe.net, is.
Yes.
I don't know that it's a trusted outlet. And based on the way this reporter responded, I don't think she's a real reporter. And that's okay.
Well, she's also 22.
Yes.
Right.
That's okay. She's young. She'll learn. But Grace has full right to remain anonymous, especially after the way people responded to this. No. That girl would get so much hate sent to her. She could be doxxed. She could be harassed online if she came forward. And I think that she did the right thing by staying private. And I support her for that. Ashley needs to be aware that the woman says in her story, I wasn't raped. She's clear. She was not raped. She is describing something that many women have experienced. I have definitely experienced very similar things. And, you know, we want everything to change. We're not saying we no longer want the Harvey Weinsteins to rape us. We want all of it to change.
Yeah.
We want people to understand that this is a problem from the smallest dates to the biggest Harvey Weinstein. We want it all to change now. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this has obviously been the most complicated reaction to any story that's come out. It's hard for me. I got to say, I read that Aziz story, and I have trouble kind of defending him like other people have. No one's defending him, but I've been surprised by the amount of support for him because that story is tough to read. And I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if it was Rainn Wilson or Adrian Brody or something who was in the same position, if people would be rushing to their defense. Mm-hmm. I think people really like Aziz Ansari, and I kind of wonder if they're looking past some of the details in that story to kind of come to his defense. I don't know if I'm saying anything necessarily super eloquent here, but no, I've been surprised by the kind of pushback against the situation because it's hard for me to see how someone would read that situation as completely consensual.
Well, a lot of the responses that people kept saying were that she was naked. She did not put her clothes back on. She said she was uncomfortable, and then he was like, okay, let's chill. And then he was like, also, why don't you go down on me? So, and then she did. So that's where people are confused.
Yeah.
To be fair, if that situation were to happen and I were in that situation and I was like, we should chill. And they're like, okay, let's chill. Also, you should go down on me. Like, depending on the situation, who knows what the reaction would be. And people being like, she could leave. It's the same people who went, why did you go to that hotel room with Harvey Weinstein? Mm-hmm. Because you thought it was safe.
Right.
Because we trusted these people.
So, okay. Then it's so hard because you want to talk about it and you want to be fair to everybody. And it's really hard to be fair to everybody. But, so, okay. In this particular case, do we think it was fair or... I don't want to say fair. Do we think it was the best idea? And who holds more responsibility in terms of how it was framed? Mm. Because I think the biggest issue, and this is why I think that Ashley Banfield was so upset and irate. And again, I felt like her criticism was a little too much, especially on air. But I get the sentiment of where she was coming from, because the larger, I don't want to say larger, because like you said, we want all of it to change. I want to not be scared to walk down the street and ignore somebody and not want to feel like I might get followed mm-hmm. to my car. So that is a whole bigger picture thing. But I think that what Ashley Banfield was speaking to is that currently, in the climate that we are currently in, this is very, very much about workplaces and very obvious power choices, shifts in career situations and whatever, and like women being able to just function in a work environment or in like life environment without being like raped. And if you're specifically saying like, I definitely wasn't raped, was there a responsibility maybe on the reporter's end or on Babe's end to say, let's expand the conversation about how we're dating and what mm-hmm. men are hearing versus what women are hearing instead of just latching on to the Me Too movement? Is that where we're finding that there's more anger? Or do you think or do you just think that like it was Me Too because we don't want that either?
I think the the biggest problem that I have with the situation is that it was, again, at a network no one's, an outlet no one's heard of, right?
And oh, for the
original story, Babe. Yeah. Babe.net.
Because it definitely seems like they're trying to, like, make a come up off of something. Well, especially
because the next day they published a, like, here are all the outlets that picked up our story and look at our numbers, which is a whole other issue. It's that I saw somebody else, a journalist, tweet something about how, you know, with the Harvey Weinstein case and all the others, a lot of research was done. Mm-hmm. It was verified. Yeah. There was evidence. I'm not saying that we needed evidence. I'm saying this was a story someone told. And there is, aside from the texts, there isn't a lot of corroboration.
Yeah.
And that in itself, like in terms of journalism, is a problem. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it's latching on to Me Too, because Me Too is about women who have been sexually assaulted. Yeah. This woman was assaulted or harassed or however you want to call it.
She said, I was not raped or assaulted. Didn't she say assaulted in that also?
Maybe she wasn't assaulted. She was harassed.
Is that harassment?
Yes. When a man continues to pull your hand to his penis multiple times, I pull it back, he pulls it again, that is harassment. That is me saying, I don't want to touch your penis, and him going, no, 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 touch it.
Okay. Now, I'm just trying to make some uncomfortable questions
happen.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, yay, okay, I'm moving my hand away.
Yes.
I'm constantly, like, because at some point we have to get to the conversation of how do we navigate these situations better, okay?
So, I wrote an article about that.
And she did, you guys. Seriously, go to Pop Sugar. She wrote a really great article about it. But that being said, where does, because there's still two people, just mm-hmm. like they always say, it takes two to tango. At some point, everybody has a certain level of responsibility. Mm-hmm. So how do we start drawing those lines of who's responsible? Because you pulled your hand back once, he pulled it again. At what point is it your responsibility to decide, I'm not doing this, and I'm standing up and leaving, and I'm taking whatever comes with that, as uncomfortable as it may be or as scared as I might be, that's still my responsibility to remove myself.
So you asked earlier about the power struggle, and yeah. I think in this situation, especially in that specific connotation, there is a power struggle in that this is someone famous that she admired, that she looked up to, and she continued to try to calmly and politely remove her hand from his penis, and he continued to use his power. And I think that it absolutely goes into the power struggle.
So my next question is, okay, if he continued to use his power, mm-hmm. okay, is that to say then that in a sexual situation, because when we say use his power, I want to talk about how sexually, obviously, like, because they were in a situation where she didn't say that she felt scared for her life or threatened mm-hmm. in that situation. She just felt pressured. So it's like peer pressure, like, right. like I need to do this. That's yeah. different than feeling fear
sure.
from this person. So, and his power is just in, I'm in a sexual situation with a girl that I think that whatever, and his mental whatever is that what I'm doing is acceptable, because as you wrote in your article, that's what they are conditioned to do.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point does it become that she has to stand up and do something different?
So she did, right? She says to him, I don't want to feel forced because then I'll hate you. At that point, if I were him, if someone said to me, I don't want to feel forced, I would go, where are you feeling forced? What did I do to make, what are you talking about? Because that could be, right? He was like, oh, I would never want you to feel forced. I'd want you to have fun. She just said, I don't want to feel forced. There's a reason she said those words.
So then let's go back to the fact that the actions continued on both their parts, because they gave each other oral sex
mm-hmm.
and whatever. And I don't know. I don't really understand how she eventually got out of the situation.
She at some point went to the bathroom and she locked herself in there for a while. Red flag. If the girl you're trying to get with locks herself in the bathroom.
But I thought after that she came out and didn't put clothes back on or something, and they did something else, and then eventually she left. Because that's what people are having the biggest problems with.
I think we don't have a proper timeline of how things went.
And she probably doesn't either, because nobody remembers everything
and
that's happening.
And it was a year ago. And there definitely was a point reading the article where she says about halfway through, and I went, we're only halfway through?
Right.
But I know that, like, I'm gonna be real honest. Like mm-hmm. I did in my story, I know I've been in situations where I was uncomfortable and I tried to chill it and slow it down and hope that if we chilled and relaxed, she says she sat on the lower level than him, and he was sitting on the couch and she sat on the floor, and she was hoping, she said she was uncomfortable, and he said she hoped that he would like rub her back or play with her hair or something to calm her down. And I totally get that, because when you're in those situations with someone you want to be with, if they slow it down, if they communicate with you, there's a good chance it's going to end great for both of you. But you can't keep doing what you're doing. So I definitely understand the idea of being in the situation and going, I'm not comfortable. And what I'm looking for at that moment is them to go, okay, let's take a step back. Let's wait. Let's see. Let's get comfortable. Let's start, you know, trying to get there. And then eventually, because she, I think, and I'm not trying to put words in her mouth, but I think she wanted to eventually be with him in a positive way. Right? That's why. Anyway, so I think that that was the goal. And if she stayed, it's because she was hoping that he would understand she's uncomfortable and it would get to a point where he'd go, I'm sorry, let's make you comfortable. And then when she's comfortable, they can have some fun.
Do you think that there was any, and obviously, guys, we're litigating one story at this point. Like, that's not the...
With very little information.
You know, with the details of the story. So I'm just, it's interesting because it did elicit so much aggressive reaction from so many people. But when we were talking about, like, the Harvey Weinstein and things like that, and how many women did not come forward that, for example, I will use, like, Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie, and these people who... In terms of power, no, they didn't have Harvey Weinstein power, but they were still in a very powerful position based on their families in the business, mm-hmm. having the work that they'd done. And in the end, their keeping quiet came from a place of desire to get ahead. And that was, and that's fine, and that's the choice that they made.
You mean at the time or now?
At the time, the reason they stayed quiet is because they preferred to advance their careers mm-hmm. or deal with their careers and whatever light they wanted it in, as opposed to coming after Harvey. So they put a value judgment on it. My career is more important than what happened to me. Okay? So at what point is it that in this case, for example, with the Aziz Ansari thing, like, he was famous and she was a photographer and this was cool and we want to make this vibe happen. Like, is there a certain level of that? Because people are going to ask, well, he was famous and you didn't want it to end badly, not necessarily because you were afraid, because you didn't want to sort of sever that potential, even if you potentially liked him, like you said, continued sure. and wanted it to go somewhere else. Is there an element of that on it? That, like, he's Hollywood. I'm trying to be up in this circle, and it feels nice to be up in that circle, and he probably won't like me or say anything else to me if I cut this off for real and, like, leave, even if I don't feel physically threatened to leave. So is there a layer of responsibility in that for this person also? And for just, like, for people, because everybody doesn't agree with the Gwyneth thing and, like, with Angelina. Mm. I personally actually think that in those cases, those are the people that made me the most upset, because you weren't not going to be able to feed your kids if you came out and told Harvey Weinstein was mm-hmm. a snake and doing some snaky ass shit. But you wanted to be in Shakespeare in Love. You wanted to make sure these things happened in your career at this time. And I'm a person that believes that if it was meant to happen for your life, it's going to happen regardless, and nobody can stand in the way of that. But those people chose, they wanted it then mm-hmm. at that moment. They didn't want to have to wait for it or go around about it a different way, because that path was the easier path at that time. So we're all women, we're all adults, men and women, like, there has to be some level of responsibility on both sides that we stand up to. And I think at some point we are going to have to embrace that there are those layers of other things going on that weren't just, it'd be different if she straight up said, he got physically violent right. and was aggressively holding me down, and I was scared that if I tried to leave, that that's a different story. So right. I'm not trying to say that at all. And I'm not trying to say she should have left. She obviously has to make a choice herself. But in making those choices, you still made a choice. And I understand that there are consequences to our choices, just like there's consequences to us walking down the street and deciding we're not going to smile at this guy and we're going to just ignore him and mm-hmm. hope we get to our car okay, kind of thing. Like, you make those decisions all the time. And I don't think it's fair that we have to make those decisions, but that's the world we live in right now, and we're trying to move out of it. So in moving out of it, it can't all be everything they're doing is wrong and everything we're doing is.
I think
I've said that really long.
Disagree,
I'm so sorry, guys.
To disagree with you on this.
I was trying to ask a question, and it didn't quite get there.
You got there. I think that, yes, that her choices are on her. I think in this situation, like the other situations, the conversation we should be having is not about her.
Yes.
The conversation we should be having is about his behaviors. I think that's the biggest problem that I see with a lot of these situations is we're going, yeah, you know, she shouldn't have gone to the hotel room with Harvey Weinstein. That's not the issue. The issue is what he did.
But isn't it, do you not think that it's both conversations that need to be had?
I think,
why did you feel pressured to go to Harvey Weinstein's room? And why did you feel like you couldn't say no as a, you know, a fully like free person that you, there's a reason you feel that pressure. But you're still making the choice to do it, even though you, because there's plenty of people that came out about Harvey that said they kind of had heard about some things and knew things were going on, but they still made the choice to do. Why do we feel like we have to do that? And I feel like saying, like, we just talked to the guys and about his behavior needs to be discussed. Don't get me wrong. But are we, part of the argument is, do we really just only discuss the man side of it and we're still not?
I think right now, it is time that we discuss the man side of it. Because up until this point, every case that goes to court is about what was she wearing? Mm-hmm. What did she say? Did she flirt with him?
For sure.
Was she drinking? We've had those discussions. We continue to have those discussions. Those aren't going away.
Yeah.
It's time, though, that we go, you know what? Why don't we also ask why he thought it was okay to do what he thought? Mm-hmm. I think it's time that we talk about what the men are doing. And yes, she may have had some poor judgment. That doesn't mean what he did was equally as bad. She should have, you know, he's not threatening my life. Maybe this isn't a good relationship. Maybe it's not going to end well. I can leave and I'm going to. Yes, maybe she should have done that. More importantly, he should have stopped pulling her hand to his penis.
Yeah, like where was he taught that? Like where did that, you know what I mean?
It's so funny that you bring that up because we talked about a few weeks ago with Daryl, who's usually on the show, because we joked about it, but obviously it's serious. Like the idea that you can just whip out your penis to a girl at work and think that like that's like a normal thing. Like who just whips out their penis at work and is like, hey, look at my dick. And I was like, Daryl, have you ever like just wanted to like show a chick your dick? And he was like, being honest, I'm like, so it actually has occurred as a brand. And Daryl is a stand-up brother, like he's not just out here
doing that,
you know what I'm saying? So it's interesting that even some of the most, you know, evolved men that I know, it is something that they have considered. So it's an impulse, I guess.
I think there's an interesting conversation to be had too, that like maybe Hollywood is actually teaching us the wrong things about sex, because like how often in a movie does the guy just kiss the girl without being prompted and she loves it? And
More so, he says something that's disgusting and infuriating.
Yeah.
She slaps him and then they kiss.
Exactly. I think it might be that our paradigms for sex are just super inaccurate. And I think interestingly, all these people who work in Hollywood seem to subscribe to these sexual practices that maybe are overly aggressive, but it might just be that all of their lessons have been from Hollywood, and that's what they've learned in
it's
movies.
An official cycle.
Hollywood has failed our entire everything because the art is
To be fair, I say in the article, which I'm sure we'll all tweet out.
Yes, we'll retweet it. You guys make sure you read it.
I say that one of the big women are taught to play hard to get. That's a thing.
Yes.
Like I am a very upfront. If I want something, I go, "Hey, we should bone." And people keep yelling at me that that's not how women behave, mm-hmm. and that we should start. I need to play hard to get, which I refuse to do. And men are taught women like to be chased, and that is. I don't know if you have people from other countries watching this show, and so I don't know if it's I don't know if it's the same there.
Let us know if it's the same, guys.
Yeah, but in the States, that's how we're raised. Women play hard to get, and men chase us.
Yeah,
and that is a problem.
Right.
We're teaching each other to misunderstand each other.
Yeah.
We're teaching women to go, don't explain what you want, and men to go, they don't make sense, so you got to figure it out. No. Say what we want.
Yeah.
Listen to what we're saying. That's what I'm asking.
So do you think there is any biological basis for why we teach that?
No. I think it's an old school, I think it's a like a traditional cultural thing that was taught, right? Women are always, you know, through history, we are supposed to be, you know, covered and demure and seen and not heard and all this garbage. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a thing that we've been taught. I don't think it's a biological.
I'm just asking the question.
I am biologically female. And at no point in my life did I think, you know how I'm going to get a man? Confuse the hell out of him.
Well, that's very specific, but some would argue that testosterone makes you do things differently than you do when the estrogen is
higher.
It
might be like the hunter-gatherer thing. Like, the strongest gatherer in the community would attract multiple men and, like, initiate the chase so as to find the best mate. I don't know. Also, women shouldn't be allowed to vote. I don't know when we decide.
I'm just this hunter-gatherer thing, I was like, I don't know that to me, like, again, that, right, hunter-gatherer and those are roles that we assign to people,
do
right?
We?
Yeah.
I'm asking.
I'm trying to think back to, like, eighth grade.
Like, what did we learn? I don't know, but
I'm speaking out of my ass. So
right, no, but I mean, that doesn't feel like, that to me sounds like they went, okay, dudes look like you probably could kill an animal. Go for it. We're going to pick berries. Like, I feel like...
That's what it is.
That's not a thing that we went, you know what feels natural to me?
Yeah.
Is picking berries.
Well, I agree, because as a guy, there's nothing... I'm engaged to a very, very strong woman. I don't know if you guys met Laura, but...
I just want...
Why don't guys want to be told what's... Like, it...
There are lots of guys that really enjoy that.
I was going to say...
Trust me.
I mean, there's plenty of guys
I know,
that do.
But it's like, I so agree with you, Yael, of like, why don't we try to open a conversation that's not mired in confusion and mired in clarity? Like, make things easier for everyone. That should be the goal, I feel. But...
It's so funny, because I have so many more questions that, like, it's not about... Because I'm like, do we really want it to be crystal clear? Or do we, like... A little
the
bit
mystery.
Of confusion that makes it a little bit magic.
Yeah.
But the magic also leaves room for mess.
So the thing is, I totally see what you're saying with the sometimes you want that. Like, you want him to know that, you know, you want to be kissed or whatever. You get to that point. When you're in a relationship with someone that you know and trust and understand
for
each
sure.
other, you will get to that point where you don't have to say it and they know what you want and it's great. But before you get there, you get to know them. You know what I mean?
I just wanted to caveat, we're not talking about situations like Harvey Weinstein. Right
no,
now,
no.
this is like more of a
dating
conversation.
Yes.
Just to make that
good
clear.
Call. Good call.
Like, just to make that clear. Like, that's where we're coming from in that space. But yeah, so I mean, I agree. It's listening to all of this always, it makes me sit back and like question and wonder about like even my own choices and things that I do and whatever. And I'm a person that is a fairly alpha female, but I also like a really alpha male. So I'm not... And I don't, not thank goodness for my personal self, like I have not been in a situation in terms of sexual assault or anything like that, but I have experienced some of the things you talk about in your article. We keep bringing it up. Go on popsugar.com.
It's called Why We Don't Leave.
Why We Don't Leave.
And How to Fix the Mixed Signals Situation.
Hmm. Mixed signals. But
thanks.
So do you guys think, just because we should probably wrap this up, do you honestly think it's actually... fixable?
I really do think
in our lifetimes.
So my suggestion in my article was that we stop playing games and we say exactly what we're thinking and that, you know,
but y'all, nobody does that even
that's
regular,
what but that's
for
what I'm
sex
saying.
For work for nothing.
I gotta disagree.
We have a disagreement.
Go for it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm cut from a different cloth altogether. I like to speak my mind. I like to be honest. On most of my dates, if I do want to kiss a girl, I usually ask her beforehand.
Oh, you're such a gentleman. I love it.
I think people should just be honest with themselves, and I think that's just the best thing that they can do, and forget about what society has taught them or showed them. Just be true to yourself, and I think that will lead them to the path in which it will lead to something that's honest and sincere about just relationships.
Do you think that your way is norm for your peers?
Can you reiterate that?
Like, do you feel like your sort of, you know, upfront, honest sort of way about dating is the norm with your peers?
God, no.
Okay,
yeah.
It's definitely not the norm.
Because
you guys are a bit younger than I am. So, and I literally just re-entered the dating pool, like, technically not for real yet. So I don't even, like, consider it after a very long-term relationship. So I'm curious that, like, is it really that... Is it mixed signals or is it just the sort of way of the world? Like, what are we doing?
I think that a lot of people always talk about how I've heard a lot of men or a lot of women say they don't like when a guy is like, can I kiss you? Because it ruins the mood. And I want to be like, if that ruins the mood, then there was no mood. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, if a man is in my face and we're feeling it and he's like, can I kiss you? I'd be like, hell yes.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, is that I think the big thing people are forgetting, especially when it comes to the Aziz story, is that affirmative consent, saying yes, is not the same as no is no. You know what I mean? So, like, we need to stop teaching people that no means no and start teaching people that unless she's going, uh-huh, yeah, okay, that's not consent. And I know a lot of people have talked about, or I talked about with a lot of people that they go, well, you know, taking the time before you're going to have sex to make sure it's okay ruins the mood. And here is my solution, and it is the sexiest solution. Everything you do, you go, you like that? You like that? Because my response would be, uh-huh.
My only response to that, though, is like, I don't know that? If I took a moment. Yeah, I do like it. I might be crossing my articles that I read, but I think I might have pulled this from your article, is that one of the biggest issues I think women have in general is being okay saying, yes, I like that. And yes is okay. Yes, I
which
want
is also
more.
A problem.
Yeah, which is also, I think we need to address that actually it's okay to constantly want it and be okay doing it and say, and I don't think we affirm that in women at all, which is why homegirl might have been like, even when he was like, she was like, oh, okay, I'll play with your dick. No, I don't want to play with your dick. Right. Like, and just because she couldn't say yes when she wants to say yes, and when she doesn't want to say yes, she couldn't say that either. Because we're always in this middle space of trying to be okay with whatever else is going on around us, and that's not okay. So anyway, any closing thoughts on this topic, and then we're going to get up out of here.
This might sound traditional, but this is where I'm going to get some flack, but I think everyone would do well to take it a little slower. I think physically. I don't know whether or not that.
Shut up.
I love you, Jeff.
I just feel like there's so much more safety when you have a sense of communication and understanding of who you're with.
I actually agree with you, Jeff.
I don't know. I just think maybe if Aziz and her had had 3 dates, there would have been an increased sense of safety and comfort between the two.
I don't know that you need 3 dates to establish safety and trust.
I agree. I agree with that.
You don't need it.
I think the last sentence of my article was, "I'm down for a lot of stuff, but only if I trust you."
Yeah.
So, how
much trust? Dude,
this is another conversation. Like, we're
building another trust.
Place. I'm like, what is trust, and how are you building that? If you are like, that's another
how
whole.
How long
like,
does it take to trust?
Yeah, but
someone?
If you are someone who's quick to trust, then great. You get to know that person and you will build that trust in that one date. If you're not, then you know yourself and you know it takes you 3 dates. I think it's get to know yourself and say what you want.
Yeah.
Are the big takeaways.
There you go. That's the takeaway that we're going to leave that story on, and we're going to close out. It feels so harsh to go to this, but I'm going to go objectifying men.
Oh,
I don't know if
yes.
I have this. I don't know if you have this picture because I'm not sure if we're putting these up, but we want to go out on a positive note. The USA bobsled team is full of diverse sexiness, guys, and we're wishing them a great time and a successful run at the Olympics, which are coming to NBC on February 8th. And one of our favorites on the team is a regular encourager on Instagram. So for all of y'all that are struggling with your, you know, your New Year's resolutions and whatnot, we almost threw the rest of January. Y'all check out Hakeem Abdul-Sabur, and he has lovely posts on his Instagram. Yes, it is. He posted, honey. He told everybody, decide what you want, write it down, make a plan, and work on it every single day. And the 2 days after that post, he made the USA bobsled team. So he's a brother that look real good, and he be exercising all the time. And y'all, I just really just wanted to objectify a man after a conversation about women and men. We don't want you to just whip out your dicks, but if you whip out your pecs and let us look at them and don't touch us, we're good with that most of the time. So anyway, thank you guys joining us here at Black Hollywood Live. Where can everybody find you guys when they want to find you during the week?
I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's YaeltyGiel. And my article is on Pop Sugar. It is called Why We Don't Leave. No, I think it's Why We Say. I don't know what it's called.
I'm so bad.
I'm going to be real honest. I think it's Why We Don't Just Say No.
Just look up her name. You'll find it.
Yep.
And congrats on that article. That's really cool, Yael. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Guys, my name is Jeff Graham. If you can find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. On Fridays, which is tomorrow, I host a show called The Unproduced Table Read, where I find award-winning scripts and bring in their writers, and we read them with actors. Courtney's been on it before.
It's so fun.
And we interview the writers about what they wrote. I'm reading a thriller tomorrow called Destination Yesterday. So check that out. That's Fridays, either at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., depending on if it's a movie or a pilot.
Ooh.
And we'll see you then.
He's got all kind of complicated details.
Yeah, sorry,
I'm everywhere, all the Twitters and Instagrams at Stuart Starlet. You will find me, this weekend at the SAG Awards, and we'll see where I am on the red carpet or not, or whatever. So anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you guys next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXO. Thanks for tuning in.
Mostly not my work.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.